Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got Omiinka 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. All of my friends, I say what's up. And to my new friends, Habari Ghani, thanks for joining us on this episode, ladies and gentlemen. We are still finalizing the last few days of our Nature's Remedy. And that's what we've been covering, schools of thoughts in this room. And we're going to just slow things down a bit to try to rehash and go over some of the things we've talked about in this room. Now, we're welcoming you back to the School of Nature's Remedy. We're going to put all this together now because it must fit neatly into the package of Nature's Remedy. Everything that we've been talking about in this room is how to solve the problem through natural holistic methods. How to solve the problem of the weather. We have to start talking to Mother Nature again. We have to tell Mother Nature we're sorry. We have to forgive one another. We have to take up time with our higher selves, and we have to spend more time with God. We have to also remember that we go through schools of thought, and those schools of thoughts allow us to transition from glory to glory. And as we manifest ourselves and as we master areas, we go to different schools. You can't stay in the third grade or kindergarten all your life. You have to work your way up and matriculate yourself up the ladder. And that's what we've been doing in this classroom. We've been working our way up the ladder, and we've been addressing various different schools of thought. Now, some of you might stay in those levels. However, I want you to graduate. We did a little review yesterday, and I told you you've already taken the test because you took the test before you got the lesson. And a lot of us go to class, and we don't expect the test at the end of the semester. We expect to be able to just go on our way, but you're going to have to be examined, and life will examine you to see if you made sure that you mastered all of the things that you're doing. Life will master you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you have to remember that going through the schools of life, that sometimes people tend to think that you're not supposed to go through anything. You think that you're not supposed to go through anything, but you are going to go through something, and you're going to continue to go through something. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that life is not a bowl of cherries, and don't let anybody tell you that it is. Life is not a bowl of cherries. Life comes with its ups and downs, and we have to realize that if we can handle things naturally, hold tight. Life seems to come with, it doesn't come with instructions, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to pause for a second here, and we'll be right back at you. Hold tight. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Care to Read Room. And we're wanting you to understand that we're not going to continue to give you a test. You've had enough tests in your life as it is, because you had the lesson first before you had the test. Now, I want to also say for those of you who are trying to figure out what is really going to happen at the end of our days, how will we manifest ourselves, and how will we be able to make the transition. We're all going to make the transition, and we're going to make the transition not necessarily together. Some of us will still have to be renewed, and we'll have to have understandings and go over some things, and some of us will be ready to make that transition. But one thing I do know is that we all are going to have to be prepared to make a transition, because that time is going to come. We cannot bypass it. It will be here. Now, what I'd like to do is to get some conversation going with some of you who have actually frequented this room and who knows what's going on in this room. If you would like to call in to our station to talk about what we've actually discussed, we're going to regress a little bit. We're going to go backwards. But I want to go and do our libation so we can get that out of the way, and then we can get right into our topic, ladies and gentlemen. And if you will stand with me as we go over to the throne of grace, we're getting in position of prayer. And remember I said we weren't going to do so much praying, but we're going to do more meditating. So I'm going to ask you to give a silent meditation as we permeate on the goodness of God and the great things he's done for us when we go into prayer. But I do want to offer up libations. And as I offer up these libations, I want you to remember your ancestors and how we summoned them here in this room, and how you must continue to summon some in your homes and in your life, because they want to reconnect with you. They want to be a part of your life. And remember, they recycle themselves through our children. So it's very important that we understand through this nature cycle that we're going through, our ancestors are very important. They are the sum total of why we're here. And whatever job they started, we are to finish that job up. So stand with me as we begin to pour libations. We pour libations for Oladunamare, and we give him the highest praise when we say Ashe. We pour libations for my father's spirit, Obatala, and we say Ashe. I want to pour libation for my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. And we call forth our ancestors. Let's call our personal ancestors forward. Our heroes and sheroes we know, but let us call out the names of Madea, Big Papa, Big Daddy. Call out Robert Jenkins, calling out Clara Mae Jenkins, calling out Essie Pope, Tommy Harvey, Eugene Lilly, Sam Lilly, George Lilly. We call these ancestors forward, Mary Lou Hawkins, and ask them if we can stand on their shoulder, Eugene Lilly, Marvin Lilly, Marvin Jenkins. We call them and ask them to allow us to stand on their shoulders, and letting them know that we are nothing without them, and they are the direct connection to heaven, and they know the way to heaven. Our ancestors know the way to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know one thing, that before the end of this session, somebody in this room will be able to say that they have made a decision to reconnect with their family and their loved ones. And somebody in this room don't want to be lonely and disconnected from their families anymore. Somebody in this room has had all of their families go over to the other side, and they want to know how do they keep the memory of their family alive. You keep the memory of your family alive through meditating and through calling on their names. Now let's meditate as we call on God's goodness and all the good things that God is, and just permeate his goodness in this room as we meditate, as we start with a silent prayer. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for meditating with me. Thank you for going with me to the Talking Cure. It's important that African Americans know that we've been through a journey. And we've gone through a miasma, and we've gone through some psychological trauma. And what I've been trying to do is actually debrief us of the trauma that we have gone through. Now, we can't do it all in 1 week or 1 month. Well, we made a dent and made an effort to talk about our transitioning and when we have to make our paradigm shift, what it is we have to do in our personal lives. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to pray. Nobody wants to make any changes. So this was a preparation so that you can make the adjustment, so that brain shift that we have to go through, you can start the brain shift now, before 2012, before the 21st of December. You can start making allowances for all of the inadequacies and asking for forgiveness now, and making and setting your affairs in order with God, and making sure that you make the paradigm shift now, right here in the midst of this hell that we're living in. If you can make the paradigm shift right here, it'll be much easier for you to make the paradigm shift once we get to the new paradise. And that's what it's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a new paradise for some of you. Some of you don't understand that it is important that we make this transition. It's very important that we don't miss the mothership. Now, I want to talk a little bit on the mothership. For the longest, we've had most of our elders talk about the mothership. And we wondered, what were they talking about, and when was this mothership going to come? Now, some of our parents told us we weren't from this area, that we were aliens and that we had to return. That's really simply letting us know that we are only temporary here in this plane. There are many mansions, and many of us have lived in other places and other times. This isn't our first time here on this earth. And if you believe in karma, some of us have come back for the third and fourth and fifth time. So we are strangers here on this earth. But don't get it twisted. There are other people and other planes and other parts of the earth. We're not the only ones here. We are not alone. And as we talked about those extraterrestrials, we brought the extraterrestrials up to talk about how strange we are. But we are in the reptilian stage. We do know that much. And that's the stage that we're getting ready to close the chapter on, the reptilian stage. The stage that we'll be going in is where people are going to be burying their souls, making character adjustments, becoming more whole and holistic, becoming more balanced with Iwapelu, becoming more patient with the Beatitudes. You're going to begin to see people self-govern themselves. Now, why do we still have security? Will we still have a need for security? I say we won't have a need for security because we're going to be able to self-govern ourselves. And most of us now are making that adjustment. Don't think the church is going to do it for you. This is something you're going to have to do for yourself. You're going to have to make this change on your own. And church cannot come in and do it for you this time, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to understand church does not make you holy. And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, can church change a person? Can church make you a better person? You have to have a connection with your higher self, and that's with God. Because remember I said when you start praying, you're praying to yourself. You're not praying to some being out there in the atmosphere. So jumping up, joining organizations won't make you a better person. Now, Ron and Nefer even discovered that you have character problems because there's a faculty within your being that has not been developed. Now, I want to talk about that today, about developing our faculties and making sure that we are fully developed and not in the infantile state. There's a large portion of us that are still in the infantile state, and we can't make that transition because we're stuck, and we have not overlooked or oversaw a thing or understood a thing or overstand a situation. So we're still stuck in that state. But it's very, very crucial that our spiritual life transitions from the infantile stage to the maturity stage. Now, that's why I told you when we were a child, we put away those things of a child. And now that we've grown older, we took off the incorruptible and put on the uncorruptible, and we begin to see things for what they are. I know a large portion of you have had to believe on things for things that you could not see, like a Shulamite woman. And a lot of you have been going through churches and been a part of churches that did strange things, and you went along with it just to get along. But now is not a time that you should be wasting time in dead churches where you're not being fed. But you must understand that sitting alongside your bedside and communing with God will allow you to be fed also. Sometimes it costs you something. It costs you a lot financially to be able to go in there and say, I have to spend money to go to church. You shouldn't have to spend money to get the word of God. God told us to go out and speak the word and to bring the word and do not sell the word. So we're getting to a point now where we can't afford to go to church because we don't have the tithes or monies and offerings to give in order to get the word. So where can you find the word? You can sit in your side of your bed and go within yourself. Remember, I did tell you that you are endowed with a collaborator, and God has deposited himself in you. He takes up residency in you. Now, remember I said that. God takes up residency in you. Where is God? Someone will ask, where is God? God is not in the mind, and the mind is not God. This is mind over matter. God takes up residency within your being, within your soul. So he is a collaborator. He is an author, and he is also the finisher of your faith, and you and him reside together. That's why you got to keep the temple clean, because he resides there. Now, what does residency mean? Somebody who's living in a place. Okay, so you have to remember that's the only reason why you can say God is with you all the time, because he's giving you a personal Godhead to dwell within you. And we've talked about that over and over again. I told you the philosophy of Yoruba and what Yoruba people believe. I told you that Yoruba people do not believe that there's a devil out there waiting to torment you and I, that whenever you speak of good, good is always present with evil. And we have 400 plus one on the right and then 400 on the other hand. We have to appease evil to let us off the hook because it exists in duality with good. So therefore, once you get to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, you can't go shutting the door on evil because evil resides within you, within your flesh, within your being. So as we've talked about those things, and how do we do a character trait change? How do we work on our character trait? We meditate. And the Kemetics believe that there are emblems that they can meditate on so that these emblems will help them to work from the right side of their brain to master those things that they can't do in the conscious. Now, I don't know how many of you have gone to school and who have meditated before a test, but a large portion of us academics were taught that whatever you wanted to remember in the natural, if you went into a trance, you could take that substance or information with you and you can meditate on it. And when you come out of that trance, you would have already carried out that task to master that task, and you would have firmly had that information rooted in you. Now, we're going to go from glory to glory. It's understood that we are. So therefore, we're looking for a new earth, a new world order. And Africa will be a part of that new world order, and that's a great thing. Hopefully we will get an opportunity to lavish on Mother Nature and on the paradise that we know Africa to be. Africa has been drained by all of the people sucking off her mammary glands, and all of the people who have despised Africa have taken advantage of her resources. Now, African Americans, I don't want to have to tell you this two or three times. It is no shame in wanting to be connected to such a great and marvelous country as Africa. It is no disgrace to want to be a part of Bush people. We came from that society, and a little bit of us is Bush, whether we know it or not. And before the straightening cone came along and Madam C.J. Walker did that little walk, we all had the kind of hair that the Africans have. So don't go despising the way that your brothers and sisters look, but adopt the tribe and be a part of it. Try to learn everything you can about the social life and how they socialized the world and how they gave the world reasoning. A people that you describe as Bush also saw the Sirius star A and B without a telescope. And they were the doggone people, and they were extremely intelligent when it came to science. They're still studying the doggone people. They're one of the seven wonders of the world. You ought to be proud, African Americans, of some of the accomplishment that your so-called African Bush people have made. They have had societies long before American ever had a society. They were civilized. They civilized the world. In fact, they had window panes and houses that were erected in Kemetic long before the United States had developed the fork to eat with. So some of the history you need to explore, and you need to begin to tell your children about the greatness. Because when we make that transition, believe it or not, this paradise that you've been talking about, everybody knows that it's Africa. Why can't you perceive that? If it wasn't, why is so many people still marveling at what is going on in Egypt? And why do they keep taking Egypt out of Africa, placing it in another foreign country, as if it does not belong in Africa? Now, I found that so perturbed to talk to children who were under the impression that Africa was a small continent, and when they saw the Peter's map and discovered that America could fit into Africa 3 to 4 times because of its geographical size being much smaller. But we're going to have to come to our senses, and we're going to have to call it like it is. There's no two ways about it, ladies and gentlemen. We've been on a journey here, and we've explored some things, and we've come to our senses. We've come full circle now. I can write about this stuff now and talk about what it has done to me on the inside. I know you have made a change, and you've washed yourself with some of the word, and you've come out feeling a lot different than what you started. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I am not forcing this information down anyone. And the views and expressions are not necessarily the expressions of Blog Talk nor of Project 2019. These are the views of Omi and the tribe. I have given you the best that I have to give, and I'm going to continue to give you the best that I have to give, whether you like it or not. I'm going to put it out there, giving you the best that I can. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like for you to lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. You still can get your phone call in if you'd like to call in and be a part of the conversation. We are counting down the last few days of our Nature's Remedy. We've included all sorts of things about schools of thought, and have talked about the fact that you're being able to be reviewed, and you've already been examined. So don't wait for that big exam where you are cramming and you are working hard. You've already been put through the test, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you pass the test. Now, I won't be able to determine if you pass the test, but each one of our deeds will be weighed as light as a feather, and I hope that we will be able to pass the test when we are having our deeds weighed, and our good should outweigh our bad things in our life. And hopefully this life is all meaningful and that we are living our life through God's eyes so that God will have a chance to experience something great. But we are also sharing our being with God as well, and God is residing in each one of us. Have been given a measure of faith, and each one of us must realize that he resides in us. Now, he may be slumbered and immersed in water, but what I've tried to do for you, ladies and gentlemen, is to wake him up or her up, the Godhead that lives within inside of you. It should be pressing forward now, because, see, when you go through something, you're going to press God forward each day. And that's why you can't despise these small things. And as you go through complications and you master those complications, you come out sharpened and buffered, and you're more sharper than you ever were. Now, should you welcome frustration and problems? Should you look for them? No, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to prepare yourself, because now is the time that God should be showing up on our faces. Because if we've gone through all the things that we have gone through in history, we should be looking more and more like God, and we should be able to reside and to be able to do greater things. And signs and wonders are supposed to follow us now. Now, these signs and wonders that I've been talking to you about, the schools of nature and how we get to those levels, we get to those levels by admitting the fact that we can do nothing within our own strength, that we call on the forces to be, that we call on the great wind, oh, yay, and that we call on the magnificent sun. We call on the moon itself. We call on whatever forces that are out there, the fire god. We must remember those are entities that have power and authority. We must remember that God, he's no respecter of person. What he'll do for me, he'll do for you. And what we are able to do here today is going to be something likened to a miracle, because our faculties are going to develop, and our consciousness is what God wants us to develop and grow. Now, I hope your conscious level has changed and you've gone to a higher consciousness, a higher consciousness. Higher consciousness, that's where you should be heading, to a higher consciousness. And as your mind grows, your mind will expand, and you will use more than 20% of your mind. And then that balancing act of the brain, you'll be able to do. You'll be able to bring in more knowledge and be able to make a paradigm change from being an infantile to being more mature. Now put away the things of a child and start looking at things more reasonably, looking at things from a different angle, and don't let people bring you rubbish that you know that simply cannot exist because of the laws of inertia, because of the laws of attraction. And you yourself know that God would not take a rib from man to make woman. The very word woman has the word man in it, meaning man came from woman. There's no way that a man could make a woman because the woman has the X and the Y chromosome. You must be more reasonable and understand that this woman is going to bring forth the solutions in the end time. She is a Godhead. And matter of fact, when God was talking, saying, let us make man, he was possibly talking to woman. And woman is the God after all. And if she is the God that we know her to be, then we have to put her in her proper place. And we've got to call things what they really are and stop undermining and overstanding a situation where we have pretty much defiled a woman and made her reduced to nothing. Men, you have a lot to repent for. You're going to have to tell the truth in these churches about who the woman really is, and don't go calling her the more spiritual side of God and then turn around and call a man God, or turn around and call a man the head and the woman will become the tail. You've got to get this thing straight. Either we're going to walk in duality, but we're not going to walk 3 to 4 steps behind you. It's time for all truths to come out. That's why we've been talking about these schools of thoughts. And nature's remedy, nature will take revenge on you if you don't do right by the woman, because the woman is nature. The woman brings about nature and brings about springtime, summer and fall and winter. The woman is nature. Her very moon is nature. So she must be treated like a god. From henceforth, man, you can be blessed. Remember I said don't bother to ask God for anything if you have not treated a woman right, because it already says in the mutilated book, you must treat a woman right before you can go before asking God anything, because God is a woman. Now, that is the very thing I wanted to get out in this whole topic with nature's remedy. So what is the problem? Is the woman angry? Is she upset? Is that why the weather has been changing so much? Is the woman waiting for her turn to rule and lead? As a matter of fact, Obama is getting in position right now for a woman to come into leadership. He's going to usher that woman in, and the plane has already been set. The playing fields have been set. And when we want an answer, we've gone to Hillary all the time anyway to get a more mother wit and a more clear understanding. The woman is wise in her dealings, and Obama knows it. So he is positioning Hillary for the next position of a woman in the White House. Yes, we will have a woman in the White House if everything goes according to plan. We must get in the right position if we want to have balance on this earth. A woman brings about balance. She brings about justice. She's Mayat. She's justice, righteousness, reciprocity. And she brings about all the balance that we're looking for in this new earth. We can't do it with a man. It wouldn't be possible because a man is not going to be balanced as a woman would be in her dealings, in her fair, honesty dealings. Right now, we are only setting the stage. What Obama is going through is setting the stage to usher in a new paradigm shift of women coming into position. Women, I don't know if you realize this or not, but you should be feeling the unction that you are going to be sizing yourself up and being called upon to use your mother with and to use all of the talents you have so that this new remedy, the School of Nature's remedy, is going to usher in the real first doctors, just like Imhotep was ushered in. The women that preceded Imhotep were female doctors who brought forth cures and healings for the universe. And we will bring forth those cures and healings again. They're already on its way. Nature has already told us they're here. And with these last few days, we're going to be talking about the nature remedies that are coming forth. Even the food has changed. We have a shortage of food now. I understand that India is one of the few countries that has plentiful food. We're going to have to take a note from India. We're going to have to look around our great globe and see what we can get back in right standing and develop balance and wholeness again, reciprocity. If we can, we can make it to that new millennium together. And if we will listen to women and follow their suit men, we can make a transition that is so smooth that everyone will benefit and profit. We cannot be an island by ourselves. We have to understand that we are all in this together. And I don't want you to do anything but apologize to the woman, man. I want you to apologize to her and tell her that you're sorry. Ready to do what?
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, crying, somebody need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening, thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was fronting, truly fronting. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should've done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, need you do a thing for me. You see my baby cheating up and walk down. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, I'm down here dying, begging, crying. Somebody ought to pray for me. I'm making you this promise right now. If you can do this one thing for me, I'll be the man that you want. I'll be the man that you need. Church every Sunday, prayers every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just bring my baby back to me. Need her to a thing for me. You see my baby, she don't have to walk down. Oh, I knew that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Oh, dear. But dear God, if you're listening now, Danny is dying, praying. Somebody ought to pray for me.
And ladies and gentlemen, Brother Hamilton says it all. It's a cry for help where men are confessing all over this land that they have been wrong and in the wrong position where they have not used women to their full benefit. They have been wrong in the churches, and some of them know it now, and they are paying for what they've done to the women in the churches. The women in the churches are no longer going to hold up the podium. They're going to be the ones who are going to be in political arenas who will be ruling this country. And there's so much that has to be attested to and so much that has to be addressed. But we can't do it all in one day. But with nature's remedy, we can ask nature to step in to do a better job of helping us to point out the inadequacy of partiality, of showing prejudice against women and not allowing them to be in the proper corridors and lead in certain areas. We can now look back at the mistakes and say, Lord, would you please let somebody pray for me? And that's what Hamilton is saying to the men, that we're going to have someone pray for them, and they're going to have to be able to see that this whole world and universe has changed, and it is coming into a more feminine structure, and we will need more feminine attitudes, and they must let women in, and they must rule, and it's coming a time when they are not going to be able to do it without us, and we will have to be a part of this management team, because we are natural rulers and natural managers. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not done with this topic yet. We're going to try to bring it all the way up into the first week of December, and things are going to be transpiring right before December 21st. I want you to call in and be able to talk to us about those things and what we can do to get upfront, personal, and close. I want to tell you that I'll see you tomorrow.